This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, and it's Coral Triangle Day, which is observed every year on the 9th of June. And it is a celebration to raise awareness of ocean conservation and protection, especially on the Coral Triangle, which is the world's epicenter of marine biodiversity. So the Coral Triangle encompasses the seas of six countries in the Asia-Pacific region, including Malaysia, and it's sometimes dubbed the Amazon of the ocean. So I'm going to get a 101 of the Coral Triangle from marine scientist Alvin Chelia, who is also a senior program manager at Reef Check Malaysia. And Alvin is also going to discuss Reef Check's work on Pulau Tioman, which is contributing to coral conservation and community resilience there. Welcome, Alvin. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
My absolute pleasure. And we had a little chicken there as well, greeting us in the background. So, Alvin, you of course are in Pulau Tioman. That's where you stay. How's everything going? How's the pandemic affecting you guys?
It's affected the local economy very badly because tourists have not been able to come in. But besides that, we are quite safe and isolated. So there's no cases on the island. So that's the plus point.
Okay. And I think, you know, as you told me off air, not a bad place to be during a lockdown.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. But before we get into what the work that you're doing in Pulau Tioman, can you give me a 101 on the Coral Triangle? So Malaysia is, of course, part of it. Like I said, it's dubbed the Amazon of the ocean, and an unbelievable amount of biodiversity is actually condensed into less than 1% of the world's ocean surface area, right, through this Coral Triangle. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, that's right. Actually, in this region, we find the highest diversity of coral species. It's about 76% or 605 different coral species can be found here. Also, reef fish, about 37% of the world's reef fish can be found in this region. That's amounting to about 2,000 plus different species. By comparison, the Australia's Great Barrier Reef hosts fewer than 500 coral species. And the Caribbean Sea only has about 61 coral species. So the Coral Triangle really is special when it comes to the diversity of coral species and reef fish species. It's also home to 15 coral species and 235 reef fish species that are endemic to this region. So you can't find them anywhere else. And, you know, many people listening in might be wondering, so why is that important, right? Yeah. Besides having lots of different species to log in your book after a dive. Well, high biodiversity is important because each species on the reef has a role. And when that role is lost or threatened, the impact can cascade across other groups. And high biodiversity basically ensures that the health of the reef is maintained by spreading these roles and functions that the species play. So if like one species is affected by a disease or a threat and is lost, the whole reef will not be affected. You know what I mean? It's a bit like being sure that you have a substitute on the bench. So when your goalkeeper gets injured, you're not left with an open goal. Yeah.
Right.
And these roles and functions that the coral reefs play, it's very important not only to the ecosystem, to the marine life, but also to the survival of humans. So resources from the coral triangle directly sustain about 120 million people living in the area. And to these coastal communities, the reef is a source of food, it's a source of income, it provides coastal protection as well against wave action and erosion and things like that. You know, so it's really very important, not only biologically, but to the people that are living there as well. Unfortunately, the coral reefs within the Coral Triangle are among the most threatened in the world as well. They are subjected to impacts from overfishing, destructive fishing, such as cyanide fishing and dynamite fishing, land-based pollution, and as well as coastal development. This is not including the ever-growing threat of climate change and ocean acidification. Yeah. And unlike Earth's other two centers of biodiversity, the Amazon and the Congo Basin, the Coral Triangle does not have physical boundaries. So this makes management and protection a bit more difficult and tricky. And this is why the Coral Triangle Initiative on Coral Reefs, Fisheries and Food Security was formed. So as you mentioned earlier, between these six countries, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, Timor-Leste, Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea, this initiative was formed to safeguard the region's marine and coastal biological resources. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And the initiative really it seeks to address both like poverty reduction through economic development, food security, sustainable livelihoods for these coastal communities that depend on the reefs, and as well as the conservation of biodiversity through protection of like species and habitats and ecosystems. So in a nutshell, that's your Coral Triangle and your Coral Triangle Initiative.
Mm-hmm. And it's massive, right? Like you said, more than 120 million people depend on it. And I guess something else is the increasing demand for seafood, right, from growing markets, Asia, North America, Europe. All of that is also depleting the Coral Triangle's fish stocks, am I correct? And is that also impacting its fragile marine ecosystems?
Yes, definitely. Almost all of the reefs within the Coral Triangle is overfished. And as human populations seem to increase, as people are also earning more money, there's this demand for more seafood from countries that are well-to-do. And this has had an impact on the Coral Triangle region, not only for seafood, but also to the extent for things like the aquarium trade, you know, where people living in Europe and in America want to have nice tropical fish in their homes, in their aquariums. And very often, unfortunately, they are fished out from this region as well.
Really, La? And I think Finding Nemo had something to do with that. I'm very certain about that as well.
Unfortunately, La. I mean, the movie had a great intention. They wanted to show the impacts of taking fish from the ocean, but it did create a demand for clownfish, especially after that movie came out.
Yeah, as you said, the boundaries are difficult to demarcate, right? So there's also poor marine management because of that. There's, I guess, lack of a political will to sort it out, poverty, high market demand, a disregard for rare and threatened species. All of these are also threats too, am I correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, all right. So I guess these are all the challenges to the sustainability of the Coral Triangle's resources. But I know that, you know, you guys at ReefCheck, especially you through the program that you're doing at Tioman Island, you're hoping to conserve the coral that is there and also build community resilience. Tell me a little bit about the program that you've got running over in Tioman.
Okay, so the program we have on Tioman is called Cintai Tioman. It was started in 2014. And its main goal was to build the social and ecological resilience. You know? We've been targeting it at three different angles. One is responsible tourism, where we are working with the local operators, especially the dive operators, snorkel operators, and resorts to reduce their impacts to the environment. Because tourism is important. It's very, very, you know, it's the main source of income on this island. About 90% of the locals depend on it, so it's a good thing. But if it's not managed well, then it can have lots of impacts. So we've been trying to reduce the impacts from the diving industry through the Green Fins approach, which is basically a code of conduct which the dive center signs on to and says, we are going to try to follow these standards. And then we assess them every year. And as long as they are participating and improving, then they get to market themselves as a Greenfin certified member. And this, similarly, we have we use the ASEAN Green Hotel standards for the resorts, and we are training up a lot of the local snorkel guides, making sure they've gone through some basic training and certifying them so that they can be a role model and, you know, reduce their impacts. The second thing is through education and awareness, obviously. Most of the time, people do things a certain way just because they don't realize it's wrong or how that may impact the coral reefs. We teach in the primary and secondary school in the island, and we also do like public awareness programs and try to share this kind of information with the locals here. The other thing that we've been working on is resilience-based co-management. So we're trying to get the locals involved in conservation and in management of the coral reefs, which sadly is something that is not common or not really happening in this country. Very often, you've got the official department, government body that is in charge, and they basically do everything without getting the involvement of the islanders or the local community. And sometimes it's just because there isn't a platform for them to get involved. So this is what we've been trying to bridge the gap. And we did this by training a few islanders. We trained them up as divers, and then we slowly started to teach them how to do this reef monitoring, how to do reef rehabilitation, how to simple conservation stuff like remove ghost nets. Yeah. So, and then when we go and do this work, we get them on board. And the Department of Fisheries under the Marine Parks, they actually funded this initiative when we started off in 2015. Mm-hmm. And they also like subcontracted them. So this was something good as well, because now the locals felt like, oh, they actually do have something to contribute, you know, because you must understand many of the islanders are not highly educated. So often they shy away. They think like, what do I know? What do I have to contribute? Right. But when the government started to realize them, in fact, in 2019, the Department of Fisheries also recognized this local group that we trained up as their strategic partners, and gave them a patch of reef to kind of watch over, like official guardians over. And this, you know, it helps build their confidence. It helps make them feel a sense of ownership. And it also improves the work that we're able to do on the ground, because firstly, they live here, so they can react very quickly. You know, like, for example, if there's a ghost net or an oil spill or whatnot, people are on the ground able to react straight away. Secondly, when it's the locals themselves doing it, it opens up doors. It allows you to talk to other people in the village about this. You know, when their nephew or their son is involved and directly benefiting from a program, then they are way more willing to listen to what you have to say compared to if you just rock up and do things and work on your own in a silo, then people don't tend to want to get involved with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what we've been doing on the island these past few years. And I think we've been seeing a lot of involvement, a lot of uptake from the local community. And that's something that we are very happy about.
I mean, that's wonderful. I've been speaking to, you know, Julian, the general manager of Reef Check, and he was also saying how, you know, there was a lack of communication between the authorities and the locals. And of course, the locals want to be guardians, right, as you said, of the area where they're living in. I mean, they depend on those places, on the health of the reef and the corals for their own livelihoods as well. Everything has a cascading effect, right, as you said. So it's wonderful that you know, these sorts of relationships are being fostered. And how are they taking to all these new programs that you've introduced to them as well? Have they been quite open to it as well?
Actually, they have been quite open to it. And I think one of the main reasons is because when we started, we did a whole bunch of interviews. We talked to about 200 or 300 people, and we asked them what do they think are the biggest impacts or problems on the island. And we arranged a lot of the programs to address these issues. Mm. So, you know, we were addressing issues that they themselves have noticed living here and that they wanted solving. So it's not us trying to push our agenda on them, but us trying to work with them and help them solve this problem. So I think because of that, it has been very positive. You know, their reaction towards the program and their uptake of the program has been very good, actually.
Okay, that's wonderful. And, you know, it is World Coral Triangle Day today, of course. And that's, I mean, all of these efforts, of course, you know, contributes to the health of the Coral Triangle, right? I guess, you know, how can we all actually work towards building sustainable practices to keep these areas protected? Do we need to finance marine protected areas for the future? I mean, what are some of your recommendations?
I would really like to see a national ocean policy. You know, because like some of the issues we are facing, they are cross-cutting, and it involves different government agencies, it involves state government, federal government, and without a proper formal national policy, people don't have guidelines, right? But if we had something like that, then you know, we would have like approved goals and objectives, governing principles. So this will ensure that all reef management conservation projects are based on an approved holistic decision of the government and not just random people doing random things around the country, you know. So this is what I think we really need to tighten up these efforts that we are making to protect the reefs in Malaysia.
Okay. And what are some other smaller things that you are working on as well through Cintai Tioman? You know, what are some of the plans in the pipeline?
So right now, we are trying to get Tioman recognized as an IUCN green list location. Mm-hmm. So this is something that we want, because Tioman is so special, right? It's got these amazing coral reefs, but it's also got this wonderful tropical rainforest that is home to so many different endemic species, and we think it's worth being protected as and recognized as an IUCN Green List site. So this is something that we are working on. We are also doing some smaller projects, for example, like reef rehabilitation, so trying to replant reefs that are damaged. We are also working with NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Agency, to improve resilience and along the whole east coast of Malaysia. So a project that we're looking not only for Tioman, but Perhentian, Redang and the Johor Islands. Yeah, this is to name a few of the other things that we're working on.
Okay. And I guess the constant one is, of course, always raising awareness, isn't it? And trying to get people to change their habits as well.
True. People don't like change. And yeah, and especially if they've been doing something a certain way for so many generations, they tend to resist it from the start. But I think with more and more information being shared, you know, the media has been playing a very important role helping to raise awareness about coral reefs and its ecosystem, marine ecosystems. And I honestly think, like, even looking on Tioman, the younger generation that's coming up, they are way more aware and they're way more open to these kind of discussions and suggestions and changes. And I think as a country, like, this is going to improve. I really think that, you know, with more and more people talking about it and even schools, like this week, we've also been invited to talk. I've been given talks to groups from 9-year-olds to university students, you know. So yeah, the word is getting out, and so it looks like there's hope, you know.
That is something we desperately need now, hope.
True.
Well, I mean, that's wonderful. And I guess, you know, just to kind of conclude, Alvin, you know, do you have any message that you'd like to leave with our listeners, you know, with regard to coral reef conservation, with regard to our coral triangle? Any last message that you'd like to leave us with?
I would encourage all Malaysians to, as soon as you are able to go and experience the coral reef firsthand. Once you've gone snorkeling on a reef, you will understand why we need to protect it. You know, it's just this national treasure that we have, and unfortunately, so many Malaysians have not experienced it. And you know what they say, tak kenal, maka tak cinta. So go out and experience it firsthand.
Okay. All right. Yes, I think we're all dying to do that. So when it's safe, gosh, I'll be the first one there visiting you and your family, La Alvin. Sorry, yeah. Get some space.
Come.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Alvin Chalea. He's the senior program manager of Reef Check Malaysia. He's also the manager of the Cintai Tioman program. And if you'd like to find out more about the work he and his team are doing, just head to reefcheck.org.my and you can find it there. You can also follow them on facebook.com/Cintai Tioman. And don't go anywhere. When we come back, we will be speaking to two more people involved in conservation as well. But this one, they're involved in coral restoration. So we'll be speaking to Dr. Gillian Ui and Effendi Yang Amri about their work on coral restoration. So that's coming up after this break. But if you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on the BFM app or at bfm.my/earth. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.